You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
We welcome you into the gym class here on this Tuesday, the 20th of October, 2020. Great to have you aboard with us as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour as your local programming block gets underway. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. And in Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM. Also, as well, on your mobile app and your smart speaker. Check it out. We encourage you to do so, and we thank you for doing so. A lot to get to in the program, as we will take a little bit of a dig into what happened down in Iowa City today. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media for the first time. Iowa and Purdue from West Lafayette coming up on Saturday, and that will be a 2:35 kickoff on the BTN for that one. We'll talk about that. Cal Eldred will join us to talk a little Major League Baseball. The World Series getting started tonight. We'll have it on all of our frequencies starting at 6:30 this evening with the pregame show, about 7:10, 7:15 with the first pitch as the two number one seeds go at it, Tampa Bay and Los Angeles, going at it this evening. Should be a fun World Series and I think a very competitive World Series. We'll talk about that and other facets of the world of baseball with our friend Cal Eldred. We'll do that coming up on the program today. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes off to my right, about 12 feet away. Buttons on the other side of the glass. The usual cast of characters taking you through this Tuesday. A little bit of a rainy, spitty Tuesday, but it's not snowing today.
Melting weather, right?
It is melting out there, and you knew it would, and the ground is still pretty warm out there, so give it some time, and tomorrow's going to be a little bit warmer, and then Thursday we're going to hit the mother load of warm for the back half of the month of October, and then November's right around the corner. Mm. November and Halloween right around the corner. So 319-366-1600, that is the text line available to you out there all the time, 24/7. Again, 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well at 319-366-1600. What's going on?
Yeah, Zoom meetings with the Iowa players, which Button sat in on, and with Kirk Ferentz. I know Todd Brommelkamp was on that call. And picking out some of the highlights, Jack Campbell apparently on the shelf with an undisclosed illness. Is that right, Buttons? Yes, he says.
Which is a big, big, that's a big story.
Yeah, he's a big rangy guy out of Cedar Falls. I think we'll have a very good career in Iowa City. Talk about the national anthem and what you might see out of the Iowa players, the Iowa team, during the national anthem. Kirk Ferentz basically allowing the players to do whatever they feel is right. Tyrone Tracy, wide receiver, one of the players that said he plans to kneel. Those that kneel, if someone's next to him, standing up, hand on shoulder type thing. I told you earlier, I just don't think the anthem narrative is hot anymore. It's relevant. It's not hot.
It was hot to a certain reporter out there in Iowa.
It was at today's Zoom conference. Yeah, one reporter was sort of relentless in her questioning.
And that's fine. Whatever.
Whatever she wants to ask. At least she's asking questions, which some people don't even bother to do. But at any rate, the anthem. I'm okay with whatever players want to do. I might happen to disagree. I might think it could be handled in a different way, but I'm over it. I'm over it. Whatever players want to do. I saw this year, Scott, you saw this year on a high school level.
Yeah.
Some kids kneeling during the national anthem. That's fine. I think I've progressed in my thinking in that regard. Again, I may or may not agree with it, but whatever the players want to do is up to them. And I think that's the conclusion that Kirk Ferentz has come to after consulting with some military people. And he had them in, and one of them said, you'd prefer you stand. The other one said, that's what I've fought for, your right to kneel, if you so choose. So 319-366-1600, I just don't think it's a huge deal anymore whereas one time it once was.
Little bit of talk amongst the players with questioning today about the situation with the eight former athletes, the eight former African-American athletes that have lawyered up, for lack of a better term anyway, and how that is progressing. I actually thought there would be a little bit more on that today. There wasn't. Come to your own conclusions as far as that is concerned, but that's where we stand at this moment anyway. And a new depth chart came out yesterday. Kirk talked about a few things upon it, said it's going to be basically a rotation as far as the guards are concerned, because they're all pretty much right there, if you will. Banwart, Schott from Northland, Kallenberger, Ince, and Britt. We'll all see action coming up on Saturday. Kronk is going to be the guy at one tackle. Eric Jackson's going to be at the other tackle. And Tyler Linderbaum is going to be the center. So that's going to be your line. Going to be a little bit of shuffling in the interior on either side of the center position. And so don't be alarmed when you see that coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, some more rounds of COVID testing coming up for the players. And you cross your fingers and hope, hopefully that comes out positively for everyone involved. I don't mean positive tests, but positively in the testing. And yesterday, about 660 tests. It was revealed that about 660 tests in that range were administered over the last week, and six positives. So that's a pretty good number.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in on things as far as Iowa football is concerned, Hawkeyes and Purdue on Saturday. We've got Before the Boom coming your way at 12:30. That'll be on 107.5 along with 106.3 FM on Saturday. And then the kickoff at about 2:35. Iowa State football coming up as well, as Iowa State will take on Oklahoma State. And we're going to talk Okie State football on Friday. Thank you, Buttons, for lining that up. Appreciate it. As Iowa State and Oklahoma State in a top 20 battle from Boone Pickens Stadium in Stillwater. That is also a 12:30 pregame and 2:35 with the kickoff. 1600 AM, 102.3 will have that. And by the way, if you want to hear what Kirk has to say, that's coming up a little bit later on. With Coach's Cuts with Kirk Ferentz on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's brought to you each week by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. 319-366-1600.
Yeah, it's going to be, as far as the Iowa State-Oklahoma State matchup, one of the premier games in the nation this coming week. And I think there'll be plenty of eyes on that, but as the Big Ten opens its season, I think it's going to be a tremendous storyline on not only in Big Ten country, but I think on the college football landscape as more and more teams join the party, so to speak. Obviously, see how it plays out. Quality of play, I don't expect to be tip-top form, should we say. Without any non-conference games in the Big Ten. But I think the games will be entertaining in the least.
I think they're going to be entertaining. I'm not sure what to expect. If we go back to the start of the college football season with the other three Power 5 conferences, it was the offenses that were ahead of the defense, which is a little bit different than usual. And, a little bit weird. And we're going to see if that's going to be the case as far as the Big Ten is concerned. Then the Pac-12 will get into it a little bit later on anyway, down the line. But some good Big Ten games coming up this week. Michigan-Minnesota, going to be a good one for the Jug. You've got, of course, and I don't think we should downplay Iowa and Purdue nationally, but you also have Nebraska and Ohio State from the Horseshoe in Columbus along the Olentangy. Sorry. I always think of that when I hear Horseshoe. Mm-hmm. I think of our dear friend Bob Brooks and giving that little spiel right there. 319-366-1600. Cal Elder will join us coming up here in just a little bit. Sad news in the rock world today, Mark. Band that I don't think they were, may have been a flash in the pan in the 80s. They had one really good song, The Outfield. Their lead singer, Tony Lewis, died suddenly today at the age of 62. The song, Your Love, from The Outfield. I know you have it on your personal playlist quite a bit, but he will be missed.
Number one, I don't have a playlist. Number two, I don't think that would be on it.
I know you've heard the song. but he died suddenly at the age of 62. Football from last night and yesterday evening. We had two of them on a Monday, and I think that's going to be more of the norm than the exception as we go in the last 2.5 months of the NFL season. You had Kansas City and Buffalo getting things underway at 4 o'clock and followed by the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals last night. Where do you want to start, first game or second game?
Start from the beginning. I thought the Chiefs looked very, very good. The running game with Hilaire was tremendous. Did they move some people around in the offensive line?
Offensive line was revamped after the Raider game because of injuries and the fact that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy were just not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck a 7th-round draft choice out of the University of Illinois from last year, who's been turning heads, and he was really good at left guard last night.
Yeah, the rushing game just accentuates what Patrick Mahomes can do at quarterback, and now we're going to see Le'Veon Bell fairly soon.
Next week.
As soon as he gets acclimated to the offense, and it's already dynamic, but I would submit that it's just going to be that much more so. And if Kansas City can run the ball as it did against pretty good Buffalo defense, we knew they were going to be good anyway, but that's really scary offense.
I hope so. It was so different watching the Chiefs, and it was very much determined that Andy Reid and company were going to be physical with Buffalo last night from the get-go. The two things the Chiefs did horribly against the Las Vegas Raiders were get pressure on the quarterback and run the football, and they did both last night very, very well. Put a lot of pressure on Josh Allen. And then the only problem is when you play that sort of close-to-the-vest running game, as the Chiefs did last night, it keeps the other team in the game a little bit more.
Unless the results in long drives and points, I suppose.
Right, but if you kick field goals instead of getting touchdowns, and the Chiefs had to settle for a field goal, and if it wasn't for a knee down for Edwards-Helaire last night, it could have been a different story, despite the fact the Chiefs just dominated that football game. But they got the victory, and a very important victory for Kansas City, and Buffalo falls to 4-2, the Chiefs at 5-1, still within shouting distance of Pittsburgh, who everyone is deeming as the top team in the NFL now. No one's giving Tennessee any love.
We'll find out this week. Tennessee and Pittsburgh square off.
Yes, they do. Derrick Henry, you know, you just roll out of bed and you run for 200 yards in the National Football League. That doesn't happen very often. And I think Tennessee is just being a little bit overlooked, and I think they enjoy being in that role a little bit. Then there's Buttons. Sorry, plug your ears.
He's plugging his nose over there.
Then there's the Dallas Cowboys. Was this all the Red Rifles' fault? The defense can't stop anyone right now. Yeah, he's saying no. They can't stop anyone right now. Andy Dalton came in, and just it looked like everyone was a little out of sync. I thought last night as far as the Cowboys, but give the Cardinals credit. The Cardinals are a 4-2 football team, everybody, and they're also not getting a lot of love. And Kyler Murray is pretty darn good, and they've got a lot of weapons on that football team.
They do indeed. Cowboys are really a head-scratcher because they've got a terrific receiving core, for one thing. Zeke Elliott might not be what he was a few years ago. He fumbled twice last night, in addition to Dalton's two interceptions. It's just not pretty. And when you get beat by four touchdowns at home, that is embarrassing. And
not a lot of Jerry Jones cutaways last night, if you noticed.
The flip side is the Cowboys are in first place in an awful division. I mean, they could win that thing at 6-10. Couldn't they?
And probably get a home game. As well in the first round of the playoffs because they are a division champion. And if it wasn't the Cowboys, there'd be a lot of hooting and hollering about that. And the Cowboys haven't won it yet. The Eagles are beat up. Face it, Washington's just not very good right now. The Giants just aren't very good right now.
Dallas is beat up, too. They don't have any starting offensive linemen, do they, Buttons?
No.
I think they're all out. I mean, now they have to go to Washington. Not a very good football team, obviously, but a big rival. And you dropped to 2-5, and whew.
Still might be in first place as far as your division is concerned. The only thing that was bad last night was DeAndre Hopkins didn't catch a touchdown, which cost me. But anyway, I digress. 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk some baseball here with Cal Eldred. We'll give our picks for the World Series, which I think is going to be a good one. I will say this, all the poo-pooing out there, but we got the two number ones. You got a truncated 60-game season, and the two top teams distinguished themselves, the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League, the Tampa Bay Rays in the American League, went through an extra layer of playoffs. Plenty of time for you to get beat somewhere down the line, and the Dodgers nearly did, down 3-1 to the Braves, but came back. And now your two number one seeds are going to go at it. And I think, for the most part, I think Major League Baseball did an excellent job of getting through this postseason. We're not through it yet. The finish line is close. I think everyone's going to be okay. Being in the bubble, it was a little bit different. As far as the playoffs are concerned, I have a few things I'm going to ask Cal Eldred when I talk with him, being in the dugout and seeing what happened and transpired through a 60-game season and having him watch it, talk with his colleagues as far as the postseason is concerned. I have a few questions out there, but I think for the most part, you got to tip your hat to Major League Baseball at this point.
Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Since 2003, Steve Anderson and his team are doing great work in that field. Which team won't prevail in this year's World Series? Will it be the Rays or the Dodgers? Go ahead and vote KGYMRadio.com. And the Dodgers are heavy favorites.
Only because the other team. If you blacked out the other team's name at the top of a list and put down all their achievements, would the Dodgers be as heavy a favorite? Just because there's the word Tampa Bay Rays at the top.
Well, the Rays had an excellent record in the regular season, shortened as it were. And I tend to like to take a look at the underdogs. I'm not going to tip my prediction here, but this is a very good baseball team. On a low budget, as opposed to the LA Dodgers, that's another reason I kind of like to root for them. I have friends, Rusty and Matt, out there, Dodger fans. I'm hoping it comes.
Pete's a Dodger fan.
Comes through for you. I'm really sentimental towards Clayton Kershaw, and I hope he does well tonight. I do not want to see him get bombed again.
No, I don't either.
I really don't.
I don't either. If it's a 2-1 loss, then so be it. But I just don't want to see him give up 7, and then the next topic tomorrow is, oh, my gosh. Oh, Clayton Kershaw, he just can't get it done. And yeah, I'm with you. He's too good of a pitcher to have that held against him. I'll say that. 319-366-1600. And the text line, talking about the NFC East, David and Hudson, no one in that division is getting to six wins. Come on, man.
Can't say I disagree, David, but I just threw out a number, man.
72.95. I would love to hear Chris list and see if he would bet that the winner of the NFC East has five wins. Over and under would be nice on that one.
We'll find out tomorrow.
We will. We'll ask Chris, is the NFC East winner going to get to six wins on the season? Now, they play one another. Now, keep that in mind. Somebody's got to win those games. And if somebody gets hot against their division rivals, then maybe you get to six, maybe even get to seven on the outside. We'll see how it plays out. 86.99, talking a little bit of college football. Isn't anyone curious to see how Illinois looks after a surprising season last year? Just stay close to Wisconsin.
Those are not my friends in Champaign.
No, none of the Champaign Five were on that particular thread as far as that text is concerned. How are the Champaign Five? Are they ready for football? Have you talked to them?
Good. My buddy just had his birthday, and I'm sure he'll be back in Illinois again this year with an eye on Iowa. And I don't know what to make of Illinois.
They called the bowl game last year.
Yeah.
I think Lovey is still in a little bit of a hot seat situation. Yeah, they went to a bowl last year. Sure, whatever. A lot of teams go to a bowl. If Illinois drops to four, well, how many do they play? Nine? If Illinois goes to 3-6 or 4-5, is Lovey still feeling pretty secure about his job situation at this time?
I think 4-5, certainly.
You can go to a bowl at 4-5.
I think they'd take 4-5.
You can go to a bowl. The Cowboys can go to a bowl, Buttons. 5-11 gets them to a bowl. They can do that. Shaking his head out there some more. 3:26. We're going to take a break, come back. Baseball talk on the other side. Our friend Cal Elder, the pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals, will join us. Plenty to talk about. The World Series gets underway with Game 1 tonight. We'll talk about that when we return here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Ready, set, internet. Extreme, powered by Mediacom, has the speed and the price to get you online fast. So stop waiting and get going for as low as $19.99 a month for 1 year with speeds from 60 meg up to an incredible 1 gig. Powerful in-home Wi-Fi and 99.99% proven network reliability. Fiber-powered internet from Extreme has what you need to stay ahead and stay on track so you can keep working, learning, streaming, sharing, and more, and stress less about slowing down. Hurry and get Extreme Internet powered by Mediacom for as low as $19.99 a month for 1 year. Call 844-4FASTER or visit us at MediacomCable.com. Available to new customers only and may not be available in all areas. Internet price does not include activation, installation, modem, rental taxes, and fees. Speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Contact Mediacom for details. Network reliability based on the 2020 Mediacom Executive Summary Outage Report.
Time to refresh your space? Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help with impeccable, well-born cabinetry. The Alexander design team respects and can work with any budget. And in addition to stunning kitchens, they also create home offices, mudrooms, laundry rooms, bathrooms, even living rooms with built-ins. Design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
As a property owner, you think you should be able to do it all. But even you could use some help. That's what EPM Iowa Property Management does. At EPM, every property matters, whether you own a large apartment complex or a one-bedroom house rental. EPM Iowa keeps your tenants happy and maintains your properties so you get the investment returns you're hoping for, plus more time to spend with family, find other investments, or just get a peaceful night's sleep. Let EPM Iowa manage your rental property. Get to know them at EPMIowa.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
3:29, right on the button on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. World Series coming up tonight, 6:30 with the pregame. All of our frequencies, Tampa Bay and the LA Dodgers. We're going to talk about that and all things baseball with our friend Cal Eldred coming up in a moment. We talked about football from last night. The one thing we did not hit on yet, Mark, the very surprising announcement today, before we get to Cal here, the very surprising announcement today that the Miami Dolphins are going to go with the rookie Tua Tagovailoa on Sunday after the last two wins by Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, one of them was the Jets. So, anyway, who's played very well over the last couple of weeks. Tua got in at the end of the game against Miami. Everyone got jazzed, and now the keys have been handed to Tua with Miami at 3-3 and square in certainly in the playoff chase.
Yeah, Fitz has gotten him to a .500 record to this point. He knows he's the stopgap to Tua going into the future. We're going to see if this is the right timing or not. I don't think it's coincidental that Tua has got a couple weeks here. Miami off this week and gives him a little extra time to prepare. If he does fail, always have Fitz magic.
Yeah, but do you pull him then? I think in this, no problem 20 years ago pulling a guy. Now you pull a guy, oh, you've killed his confidence. You can't go back. You can't go back to him.
Well, the Cardinals are seeing what's happened with Joe Burrow, having some success. Justin Herbert having some success. And, hey, what about our guy who we thought so highly of to draft in the first round? I think it's going to be fun to see.
I think it will be. We'll see. I think it's a little bit soon, but who knows. And, by the way, congratulations to Iowa native Nate Bjorkgren. He is the new coach of the Indiana Pacers, the second Iowan to be a head coach in the National Basketball Association, the native of Storm Lake, Iowa. And he is now going to be the former assistant to Nick Nurse, by the way, in Toronto as well as in Des Moines with the Iowa Energy. And, by the way, former assistant coach at Lynn Mar High School here in town, Nate Bjorkgren, at the very start of his career.
Did not know that. Count on you to know that. And that's why you're so good at what you do. But that's kind of cool. Two Iowans being head coaches in the NBA, and they're not the first. Bill Fitch from Wilson High School right here in Cedar Rapids. I think he did win an NBA title, but he had a very poor record in the NBA as a head coach. But he hung around a long time, Bill Fitch from Cedar Rapids, and now two from Iowa in the NBA. Kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, check it out. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Baseball, though, we're going to talk about that as our friend Cal Eldred, the pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals, joining us here on a gloomy Tuesday here in eastern Iowa. But the popcorn is ready to go, and you are ready for some World Series baseball, I bet.
No doubt, Scott. The difference is the fire's going. To keep us warm, actually, is the first step before you warm up the popcorn. But they're going to be warm down in Texas tonight, so we'll probably see some good baseball, I got to believe.
Yeah. I said a little bit earlier on, I'd say kudos to Major League Baseball for getting to this point as far as the playoffs are concerned and just getting everything through, and lo and behold, we got both of the top teams from each league facing off. That doesn't happen all the time. Happens in this particular instance in 2020 anyway, and I tip my hat to Major League Baseball for getting this far.
Well, I think there's going back from the initial start of spring training, and everything's in the world was normal. And then the stoppage, and then getting started again, the craziness ensued. And I really wish, and I'm sure it'll come out at some point. I don't even know if we will be able to do it, but if cameras could have followed a coaching staff or a ball club or a couple players and just seeing what they did, what their normal day was like on the road at home. It was either people would think it's really boring or they would say, wow, there were a lot of hoops that people jumped through, especially the medical staffs to make this happen. And now we've pushed all the way through to the World Series. And why I think our two teams that had the best records came out in the end of this is because there were no off days in the playoffs, and you just played time after time after time, and you had to use the depth of your pitching staff, your bench, and that this was more like the regular season. These playoffs have been so far.
Cal, I've been dying to ask you this question, and it involves Randy Arozarena, who very few people knew anything about. But you might have some insight here because he was taken in 2016 as an international free agent by the St. Louis Cardinals when you were employed by the Cardinals. Ironically, he made his major league debut against the Royals for St. Louis in 2019, and Cardinals decided to deal him in January. What can you tell us about this guy who's just setting postseason on fire?
Well, I'll tell you, Randy really has surprised some people. I know there's people that are closer to him that he's not surprising. The deal when we saw him from a scouting standpoint, I'll go from 2019 last year, was that this kid doesn't hit a lot, but he is obviously very fast. But when we saw him in the series that we played him in, the couple games we saw him, you know, they were like, oh, we're just going to use him as a pinch hitter. But the couple at bats, you saw that he could hit a fastball, and the breaking ball was the issue. Well, now he's just not missing fastballs. He just isn't doing it. And that's always the knock on a Latin player. They can hit the fastball. They can hit the fastball that, you know, many people, you know, many Latin players miss the curveball. Well, that they could say that about any nationality. But this kid, I remember him when the Cardinals signed him, just a fast guy, a lot of talent. And I think his strength has caught up with his speed and his eye. As long as he's laying off breaking balls that aren't close, this kid's a tough out.
Both the championship series went the full length of seven. It was fun not only to have one game seven, but to have two game sevens was even better. Double your fun as far as that is concerned. And, you know, the Braves, boy, they got to be kicking themselves. That game seven, I mean, you can't say anything else other than the fact they ran the bases like an 8U triple SA team. They have no one but themselves to blame for that.
Yeah, those are mistakes. You know, when if it's your base dealers that make those mistakes, you're just appalled. But when you're not fast and you know, then you've really got to make good decisions. And unfortunately, those good decisions weren't made. Getting thrown out at home plate. You know, the other thing is, and I always have a problem with this. I've been told many, many times by position player coaches, by base running coaches, that going on contact with a guy at third base, doesn't matter where it's hit, you just go. And I've never liked it. It costs two guys getting thrown out at home plate. In a huge game, and even you guys have seen, we didn't even see a bunt with guys at first and second.
Oh, Cal, come on.
So I want to see – I'm like, hey, here we are again, right? But I want to see that. Put the pressure on the defense, and you're going to collapse sooner or later, and don't give outs away. You let runners use their instincts. But I'm just telling you guys, I get shot down 90% of the time when I bring that up.
There are 13 ways to score from third, by the way.
Exactly.
Clayton Kershaw gets the ball for the Dodgers tonight, Cal, and I don't think there's very many people that want to see him get shelled. Gave up four runs in his last postseason outing. And my question to you is, I don't think there's any question this guy's a Hall of Famer, but in general, how much does the postseason matter versus the regular season when evaluating a Hall of Famer? Because let's face it, not everybody gets to the postseason.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right, Mark. I think that's a very, very important point. There were Hall of Famers that didn't get to play in the playoffs. They didn't play there very often. For me, what I've seen Clayton Kershaw do day in and day out over the every day of his career, that's what makes a Hall of Famer. I understand that you can the prestige and maybe a guy being a first ballot because of what he's done in the playoffs when his team's gotten into the playoffs. I mean, it's like Jeter. There's just a no-brainer. But the Yankees were in the playoffs almost every year the guy played and had a Yankee uniform on. But what Clayton has done is so impressive. And now what he continues to do is very impressive because when he pitches good, everybody's like, well, he's supposed to do that. When he doesn't and he gives up three or four runs, then, oh, no, here it is again, the jinx of the playoffs. The guy's pitched long enough that he has to be on. He's going to have to be on tonight in this game because Tampa takes tough at-bats, even though they do strike out a lot, and he can get to that, but they'll take tough at-bats. So I'm with you, Mark. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer to me, and I would love to see the American League win, no question, but I also it would be nice to see Clayton finally get that ring.
It would. Cal Elder joining us 3:40 talking Major League Baseball, the World Series getting started tonight. You can catch it at 6:30 right here on KGYM. One more thing before moving on to the World Series. It just is making me scream seeing all these pop-ups that guys hit the ball and they look up the batter thinking it's going to be in the infield and it ends up three steps away from the warning track. Mm-hmm. How juiced are these baseballs they're using?
Well, so here, I'll try to keep this very quick. Really, the ball changed back in 95, 96 when we saw all the home runs. I could tell the difference because I had Tommy John surgery in the middle of the season or early season in 95. By the time I came back at the All-Star break in 96, the baseball had definitely changed, gotten harder. The baseball is as hard as it's ever been right now. Our guys, every pitcher in the league has trouble hanging on to it because it's so hard and it's slick. And fortunately, as you know, the hitters want guys to use something to hang on to it. But you're exactly right. Well, I've saw multiple broken bat home runs this year, and guys are not that strong. They're strong, but they're not that strong. And you're exactly right, Scott. And in some of these ballparks, the fences are close in certain areas. You go to Houston in left field, Yankee Stadium in right field, and it doesn't take much, and the ball's gone.
As far as the matchup goes, Cal, let's evaluate the two managers. Dave Roberts, perhaps more well-known than his counterpart, Kevin Cash of Tampa. Is there anything to break down there?
Well, I think what you're going to do is you're going to see Tampa. They'll keep doing what they've done. They'll use a lot of these people want to say analytics, but they just look at pitchers and say this guy's usually his numbers are much better when he only goes around the lineup once or twice or faces these types of hitters, right-handed, left-handed, and that's what they try to just really stick to that. So I would implore Kevin Cash, because I think he's a smart guy, to use his gut. And I think that because I think he's a smart manager and knows his personnel on top of just looking at statistics. But Dave Roberts has been through this. You see him using his gut by letting Kenley Jansen finish not the last game, but game six and five. And so, you know, I look at him and I think to a certain extent, he just has to let his players play, but Dave's done this enough. And I think he's really in a good position. He's got a good club. And really the Dodgers look at it like they've really got nothing to lose. This is another opportunity that they have. And you've got that they can do their best with and Tampa's in the same boat. They know there were teams that a lot of people thought they'd be here. And now they just need to keep doing what they've been doing.
If the Dodgers come in a pretty heavy favorite, and I said this earlier as well, if you took all the accolades and all the stats of this Tampa Bay team, but erased the name Tampa from the top of the list and put, you know, whatever name you want to come up, if you put the New York Yankee name over Tampa Bay, just superimposed it over it, the Dodgers aren't as heavy a favorite. It's just that Tampa Bay aura, I think, isn't it?
I agree, because look what Tampa has done. They've been you hear about their bullpen, you hear about their bullpen, but the teams that have won this every series has gotten better starting pitching than the team that lost. That's because what happens? Well, Charlie Morton shows up. Glasnow gives you a good start. Snell gives you he's got better starts in him. A lot of these guys are throwing a ton of pitches in five innings, and therefore they're not going 6 and 7. Walker Buehler, same thing. Urias with the Dodgers. I mean, these starting pitchers are the reason why these teams are here, or I should say a large part of that. The Dodgers can really hit. The Tampa can score some runs in a hurry. So the offenses obviously have a lot to do with it, but the starting pitching has really made a difference in these series.
Does the ballpark in Arlington favor one team over the other?
You know, it's really unfair for me to say, because I haven't been there. I haven't seen it. Our team hasn't played in it. But I will say this, and I think that this is important, is that Tampa didn't play there in the American League Championship Series, but the Dodgers did in the National League Championship Series. So now the Dodgers are feeling they're comfortable with the stadium. They've had success there. And now Tampa comes in. It'll be interesting to see if it feels like the Dodgers have home field advantage or not.
It's interesting as well. I think Tampa, they strike out a lot, they've been doing a really good job of trying to, I'm not even going to say small ball or anything like that, but at least try to beat shifts and whatnot, try to go the opposite way. And they manufactured some runs that way as far as the playoffs are concerned. And I think this is going to be I hope this is a trend. I really do. Not only for the World Series, but going into 2021 and beyond, with all these shifts being taken care of and implemented anyway, that teams will try to beat the shift. Okay, you're going to do that. We're going to do this. And maybe we'll get back to some semblance of a little bit more 50-50. We'll see anyway. But it was refreshing, I think, to see Tampa try to do that a little bit.
Yeah, you saw some guys just letting the ball get deep. I'm specifically thinking of right-handed hitters, and they just hit a nice, firm ground ball to the right side when everybody shifted over, and you've got just the first baseman standing there. If there's a guy on first, that whole right side's completely open because the first baseman's holding the runner. And so I completely agree with you, Scott. It's taken – what's interesting is you look at a player that from the Royals, Alex Gordon, who came – when he came into the league, none of this was taking place. The last 5 to 6 years of his career, the shift was on him all the time. It took us until just the last half season of his last year to get him to lay a bunt down. And then when he did it and it worked, he's like, why haven't I done that for years? It's a free hit. So, and it's, I agree with you. I think that's really key. And if the Tampa hitters will do that, boy, that makes them a lot tougher to pitch to, even with two strikes.
I'll start the pick section, Cal. I love the underdog. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay in 7. And people may be chuckling out there, but this is a very good baseball team. And I like you, hope Kershaw can get a ring. But I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say Tampa in 7.
Yeah. Scott, you want to take a pick? Or
I'm with Mark. I don't even think it's going to take 7. I think it's going to be 5 or 6 with Tampa. And not anything against the Dodgers. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, Pete. Sorry, everybody out there. But I like Tampa's makeup, and I think they're going to get it done.
It's the starting pitching, and Tampa's starting pitching is pretty exceptional. But the offense of the Dodgers is awful tough, and man, I go either way because I want to know if how what the health is of Kiermaier, and but guys, it's tough. I mentioned the starting pitching, and you know I if I'm going to do that, I either go with Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw, or I go with Glasnow, Charlie Morton, and Schnell. And I think we're going to make it a clean sweep. Unfortunately, I'd love to see Clayton Kershaw get his ring, but I think Tampa may get it done.
And I also never thought I would see a day in Major League Baseball that a pitcher is not going to pitch, or a manager is not going to put a starting pitcher out there because he doesn't want him to face the top of the order twice. So we're going to put another guy out there and let him take, you know, first inning or whatever, second inning if he doesn't throw many pitches, and then bring another guy in so he doesn't have – I mean, Jack Morris is somewhere getting really angry. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, Jack Morris is at the head of the line. There's a lot of guys who are going, come on. But you know what, though? It is hard to be a starting pitcher in the big leagues. I was thinking about this today. It really is. It's getting harder and harder. It's a very unique tool set to do it. And so those guys that do it and can do it for 7 and 8 innings at a time are just exceptional.
Should there be any postseason awards this year? I know there probably will be, but you're talking about a half season award for MVP or, you know, what have you. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, Cal.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on that too. I know we had players. Salvador Perez had an incredible year. Brad Keller had an incredible year in our starting rotation. You know, Greg Holland actually had a really good year in the bullpen. Trevor Rosenthal was on his way to doing that too. Scott Barlow. And obviously I'm very familiar with those guys. That's why I mentioned their names. And I think that it's something that, but there are players, and you know, I think guys, this is something that we need to just embrace the fact that this is a short season, and it was what it was. Guys are exhausted. So I think those awards go out, and you know, I think they should, and we need to make it as normal as possible, and just hope that next year is as close to what we knew as normal.
I would agree. I mean, something's got to be done. I mean, you played a season, in quotation marks, and if it's going to be a season, if you're going to have a World Series champion, you can't say, well, here's a champion of this season, but we're not going to give any awards away because we didn't think it was a season. But here's your commissioner's trophy, you know, Dodgers or Rays or whoever is going to win it. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think we have to have the awards.
I think what I was thinking is that, you know, in the All-Star game, when they go to make the roster picks, some guy could have an outlandish first half of the season and become an All-Star. And then he never does anything the rest of his career. They may be few and far between, but there are those instances out there. And, you know, maybe the same guys that won the batting title this year would have won it in 162 games. I don't know. Managers of the year the same way. So it's just a different year.
Yeah, and I think the roles that the awards that would go out, if there's is that I see very fitting, and guys earned it this year, would be manager of the year. Mm-hmm. This was extremely tough on managers who are leading coaching staffs and teams and all the people around it and trying to get everybody going in the right direction. And not every team is it the manager that does that. But for the most part, if teams can do this and they do that well, this was as tough a year on a manager as I've seen any year that I've been around as a player and a coach.
I would agree. And I'm not just saying the award should be given out because Jose Abreu should be the MVP.
He's got a good argument.
Yeah, you do. No doubt he does. I'll tell you what, he's going to look around him and think, look at the guys that stepped up around me. And they did. They stepped up around him and made it even tougher to face him. There were times that you went after him and because you had to.
Enjoy the World Series. We'll talk next week. And always a pleasure, Cal. And get that fire going in the popcorn.
No doubt. You guys do the same. Enjoy the World Series, everyone.
All right.
Thanks, Cal.
Cal Eldred joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Quick break. We'll come back after this.
If Teresa Greenfield and the Democrats take over, the following will take effect. $4 trillion in job-killing taxes, government takeover of healthcare, packing the courts, dismantling police departments, surrender to the mob, surrender to China, and a march toward socialism. Teresa Greenfield and the left, they'll tear this country apart. Stop the liberal takeover. Vote Joni Ernst.
Paid for by Iowa Values Action, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.iowavaluesaction.com.
To those who love the grind, run with us on a John Deere Gator UV. Because your daily routine may change, but the land stays the same. There's still ground to cover and a herd to keep in line. Out here, the work never stops. So keep going on a Gator UV with the power to forge ahead. Nothing runs like a deer. Search John Deere Gator for more.
City Tractor is your John Deere lawn and turf headquarters in the corridor. Visit us online or in store at 645 Penn Court in North Liberty.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man in foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
DAV helps veterans of every generation to get the benefits they've earned.
To see Alex learning to snow ski, that's life-changing.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night.
There's a lot of meetups,
hey,
eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline, see full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what covering your bases is in baseball, right? Making sure you have no holes in your defense. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. And you'll pay up to 50% less than big carriers and still use their same networks. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G. No contract, no mystery fees. Fully covering your bases for 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
You never really stop riding in your mind.
Never.
Unless you're thinking of something else.
Like other thoughts.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Back with you to wrap things up on the Gym Class here on KGYM. The World Series getting started tonight with game number one as the Tampa Bay Rays and the Los Angeles Dodgers will go at it. And that game to be played down in Arlington, Texas. There will be fans, some fans in attendance.
About 15, 20,000,
yeah,
I think.
Much yeah, much like it was for, well, I think a few more than it was for the American League Championship Series. So we'll see. And I do think I'm with Cal. I do think it's a little bit of an advantage for the Dodgers to have played there.
Yep.
To know the nuances as far as that stadium is. And more importantly, they didn't have to go anywhere. They were there. So we'll see if that's going to be an advantage. All three of us took Tampa, though. So
pick sure to go wrong.
Pick sure to be. So if you're a Dodger fan, by God, enjoy this because pretty good chance you're going to win the World Series. 2662, Mr. Packerbacker says Kershaw will not get his first ring as a Dodger, but he will get his first ring as either a member of the White Sox, Cardinals, or Yankees. Interesting there. And 9896 must be a long-suffering Viking fan who asks, when will we all see Stanley starting for the purple and gold? Nate Stanley, that is. He's a former Hawkeye. More on the current Hawkeyes coming up. Coaches cuts coming your way on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And tomorrow, Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will join us. We'll talk game one of the World Series, look ahead to game number two, look a little bit closer to the college football weekend as well, all coming up. And a Bowling Night in America preview coming up tomorrow. Have a good World Series night.
I will. Look forward to tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
GEICO presents Monster Counseling.
Dracula, tell me how you're feeling.
No one understands how lonely it is. No one will even let me into their house. I knock and I knock, but they ignore me.
Uh-huh. What else?
I look in the mirror and I don't even see myself anymore.
If you don't see yourself clearly, can you really expect others to?
I'm having a breakthrough.
It's not easy to be a vampire. But with GEICO, it's super easy to switch and save hundreds on your car insurance.